Like I said, we shared a thought this week. It might have been yesterday or day before. I can't remember. I don't remember. This was 3 points. We used 3 terms. Providential preservation with reference to the Word of God. Preservation and perseverance with reference to the saints. And perpetuity of the Lord's churches. Perpetuity referencing the Lord's churches. It seems that so many around us that name the name of Christ, who have professed faith in him, have so little understanding that Christ has a doctrine. Jesus Christ has a teaching. He taught and he teaches us all the things that we need to know so that we might live in a manner of life that is fitting for people that are called by his name. Called to be saved. We are taught, Jesus taught us and teaches us how to be a proper Christian. If we're a child of God, a brother or sister, how to be a parent, a husband or wife, a good citizen, a leader or a follower, how to be a freeman, how to be a slave, a rich man or poor man, young or old, a pastor, a deacon, and a member of his church. Christ's doctrines guide us through every stage of life, from birth to the grave. He even teaches us of things that are in eternity, to where we're going. In Hebrews 6:1, we see the term doctrine of Christ. And it sounds like a strange thing, but there it says, therefore, Paul writing to the Hebrew brethren, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. He wants to go on, these brethren, to go on. And in it, we could apply it to us. To perfection. In what? Knowing Christ's teachings. In 2 John, verse 9. The apostle wrote, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Now, I've been praying for some time, and I'm not going to stop, by the grace of God, for laborers to carry the church forward in the days ahead, when the time might come that Brother King's gone, I'm gone, Rick's gone, Clark's gone, Mike's gone. Those days aren't too far away. The truth is, this church will need, and does need, younger men and women that will apply themselves to knowing more, knowing the doctrine of Christ, and becoming actively involved, men and women, in the maintenance and preservation of Christ's doctrine. There is first, I want to refer to the providential preservation of the Word of God. Very simple point. I want to begin by quoting this man. He says, and I wish you'd read books. If you read books, I wish you'd be very selective about what you're reading. Read good books by dependable men. Don't read just anybody. I'm not going to pick up Pastor Kay and her books. I'm not going to go get Robert Schuller. I'm not going to go get stuff by Joel Osteen and Benny Hinn and these guys. Well, there's some people that look like they might be okay, but you need to be careful. Be very selective. When I grew up, we had a young family, the wife and I, just starting off. As you, most of you all, had very little money. And so when I bought books, I wanted to make sure that what I bought was good. And so if Brother King didn't already buy me a book, and you bought me a lot of books, I looked at your library and asked you what you had. And you showed me things. And I bought those books. They're excellent books. Excellent books. And I can point you in that direction, but don't just read anything. And this man says this, great man. If the doctrine of the divine inspiration of the Old and New Testament scriptures is a true doctrine, the doctrine of the providential preservation of the scriptures must also be true doctrine. It must be that down through the centuries, God has exercised a special providential control over the copying of the scriptures and the preservation and use of the copies so that trustworthy representatives of the original text have been available to God's people in every age. God must have done this, for if he gave the scriptures to his church by inspiration as the perfect and final revelation of his will, then it is obvious that he will not allow this revelation to disappear or undergo any alteration of its fundamental character. And that's a mouthful, but that is excellent. And that's what this book represents, a faithful transmission of the Word of God through the history of men down to this time. This is a King James Version Bible. It's the only one in the English version that has this background. It's the only one. I'm convicted. You need to get convicted about this matter. You need to find out. If you need to go delve into textual criticism stuff, be warned. It's an abyss. You've got to be selective and you got to be prayerful about it. You can spend your whole life dealing with it, and there's a point where you got to say, you know, I believe the Word of God, and this is where I stand. So help me, God. But that said, we have Scripture. Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 89. Lamed. If you want to learn the Hebrew alphabet, look at your Bible. You have that right there in order. Lamed. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, because God can't lie, his word is absolute, it's perfect, it's without imperfection, so it's certain. It can't be broken. It shall be fulfilled. John chapter 10, verse 35. I'll just read this clause here, and it says this: the scripture cannot be broken. That says a lot. It can't be broken. It will be fulfilled. So we have Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. And this stuff makes me happy. It makes me happy. It takes you beyond the grave. Oh, it's so important. Matthew 5:18, for verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise, in no way pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, this word, the revelation of the mind of God to men by Jesus Christ, shall be preserved. It was settled in heaven, but preserved here. Psalm 12, these are scriptures I like to make pencil notes. If there's not already one there, a centerfold reference, a margin reference, I want these. You won't remember You know it's true, but you've got to be able to find them again. And so make a chain of references. Maybe all of these, you can go back to this. You can say, okay, Psalm 12:6. And there at Psalm 12:6, I'll have all the references that have to deal with this topic. And that's how I do it. And there it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Again, in Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. There's not going to be a generation where the word of God isn't present. Wow. Now that's powerful stuff, because that's a powerful God. He can keep his word. He can do these things. John 17, verse 17. And then this will finish this point, and we'll move to the next, and it'll be very brief. I don't want to read all of these necessarily, but here, to finish this point of the providential preservation of the Word of God, Jesus said in John 17, 17, sanctify them, who? The disciples of Christ. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone. Here's, it's preserved. But for them also which shall believe on me through the word. They're going to have that word at whatever time they live, in the point of the history of mankind. He will have the word there for them. Now the preservation and perseverance of the saints. It's true that the people of God shall be saved and kept to eternity. They were chosen in eternity by the Heavenly Father, and he gave them then those same ones that he had chosen to his only begotten Son. None of these can be lost or fall from being the redeemed of Christ. Or else it's not eternal life. Or you're not really redeemed sufficient. That's not so. If he's shed his blood for you and me, we're redeemed. We're bought. We cannot be unbought. Preservation, though. Now we know, this is one of my favorite texts, and we know this in Matthew 1:21. He shall save positively his people from their sins. And he did that not when we believe, though that is when we begin acting like it, but it's when he died on the cross. He shall save his people from their sins. Again, in John 17:11. And 12, the intercessory prayer, now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition. Why was he lost? Because he wasn't one of the elect. You see, if he was, he couldn't have possibly been lost. And that's the point here. The son of perdition? He's a son of destruction. That's what he was appointed to. In John 6:39, with the idea of preservation of the saints, that this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing. Remember, he can't lie. What he says is true, and it'll be fulfilled. All which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Of course, you know, I'll refer to John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Never perish. Never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, Jesus said. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. They both have us in their hand. Wow, you can't be any more secure than that. Well, he says this, I and my Father are one. We're absolutely agreed about these. We're keeping them. They're ours. Wow. Let's get to the point of perseverance. I've already referred to John 10:27. You have to. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They do persevere. You know, you might not think you can do it, but you will by the grace of God. You can continue and through some very difficult things. You can go through because he'll keep you. And it's like the song, the cathedral quartet, when they were around, they used step into the water. That's all you got to do. Just trust God. And you'll see the grace of God begin to work in your life like you've never seen before in a powerful way. I want to read this as, concerning perseverance in 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 15. It's really good because, you know, some don't look like they're persevering because there's something wrong with them. Again, they're not of the elect. The bottom line, the Lord knows who them that are his. So here in verse 15 of chapter 2, 2 Timothy, Paul to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, and he's saying, I don't know about them, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, in spite of what we see by so-called brethren, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. They will persevere. In Hebrews 10, verse 38 and 39, we've referred to this often lately, it seems like. But I love the scripture. It's very comforting to know that we can't do some things as the people of God. And there it reads, Hebrews 10, 38, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But, that's an important conjunction. Cornerstone there. Now we're changing the channel here. You got to understand something. We are not of them who draw back unto what? Perdition. The son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, remember? We're not like that. We will persevere. We're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, if we're truly his. And finally, perpetuity of the churches. The churches of Christ continue by the grace and power of God. Churches shall continue in this world. You're a living testimony to this, and there are others as well. We're not the only ones. And we're going to continue into the next. While Israel is the apple of God's eye, the churches are the members of Christ's body. Wow. He's using us to do his work in the earth until he comes again. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. We're so unworthy. What a blessing we have as a result. Wow. Since the day that Christ originated his first church. During his early ministry, there's always been a church. This is one of those concerns I have for you. There are true churches and there are false churches. Not everything that says it's a church is a church. And I don't mean by that to say that there's no one in there that doesn't believe in Christ. There are some great brethren, I think. They know the Lord. They go to places that I wish they never went to. That's called a church. That's just a matter of fact. And I hope they'll come out of it at some point. And we've seen the Lord bring some out of it, out of those. There's always a church. Church history, like studying Bible history, can be very confusing. You need to be prayerful and selective about the books you read. And I, again, can point you in the right direction for that. But there's a lot of good information out there, and there's a tremendously, there's more bad information out there. I think we could help with that. But I hope you have an interest to find out better about church history. Very important. But let me say this. We'll get to that point. Just hold that thought. The churches of Christ can't be eradicated from the earth. No matter what the world does, it cannot be. The churches will continue. They are kept by the power of God to witness Jesus Christ, to keep his word and his doctrine. And so, very simple scriptures, and we're finished. Matthew 16, 18. If you don't have these marked, you ought to have some kind of a reference again. Jesus speaking to Peter, "You are Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Nothing so serious as this. The powers, if you would, dark powers, cannot prevail against the church. No matter how they try to eradicate the churches of Christ, they will continue by the power of God. I'm telling you, it's nothing short of a miracle. A miracle. All of it is. Matthew 28, 18, it's built into this when we talk about the perpetuity of the churches. Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, sorry, I get ahead of you. "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." To who? To Jesus our Lord. "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations." By the way, power is the word authority. Churches don't have the authority. They do what they do because Christ has the authority. We don't have any authority to pass on to anybody else. Okay? You just get that right. Christ does it. And so when you think about church origination, church constitution, think not horizontal. We don't need a sister church. We don't need another church to start another church. What we need is the Lord moving two or three properly baptized disciples to want to start a church, and they can do it on the spot. Amen. They don't have to have a pastor or deacon. Think vertical authority, because Christ has the authority. And I tell you, your doctrine will be right. He says, "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, what? I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." So the churches will be continuing to the end of the world. And another one. One more. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Always, you got to go back. "Now unto him." Him who? God. About two verses back. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." It's like an understatement. "According to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus." How long? "Throughout all ages, world without end, into the ages of eternity." The churches of Christ will be there. Tremendous. Now, churches aren't perfect. We know that. They might become cold in their love. They might become neglectful of their duties. They might become errant in the truth. They might even die. But there will always be churches somewhere and at all times in the earth doing the will of God. And that would be us if we don't keep our eyes on the Lord. It takes work. These things don't just happen. You have to be diligent, one another, each member, diligent to apply themselves, to want to be fervent in love with the Lord, want to have the peace that passes understanding, wants to have the joy with words that are unspeakable, wants to on and on and on, and do the will of God. Love one another. Keeping the right doctrine. Chastening one another when we start talking like we're out of order and such. All of that's a function. And it takes an act of our will. Why don't I do it? Well, none of us like doing it sometimes. But that's what the Lord would work in us. We're not perfect. There will always be a church. God will see to it. There will always be properly baptized, repentant believers identified with a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere they will continue. Now, I said hold that thought. It doesn't matter if we don't know these things. So many are ignorant of the truths. It doesn't matter in this respect. Or whether we can understand how these things are even possible, because it's nothing short of a miracle. It doesn't matter if we have history or not. I love church history. We can see the line going back. You can't attach a chain, but they're there. They go back there. You know, the connecting link is baptism. Baptism. The Ethiopian eunuch. A proof. You just know that one day, not too far in the future, that Ethiopian eunuch will run into another properly baptized disciple. He was one of them. Down there in Ethiopia. And guess what they can do? And I have no doubt in my mind they did that very thing. They started a church. Wait, it's that way. It doesn't matter if we have history to prove them. They're true because God's word says this of these things. But we ought to know them. Because they help our faith. I want to close with this. With the things that have been going on, I feel like it's so important. I don't know where everyone is. It's so good to see you tonight that you came. But if you've never come to faith in Christ, these things don't really matter to you. You've probably been in la-la land. I understand that, but I need to tell you something. Something very important. God sent his only begotten Son into the world, and the name of that Son is Jesus Christ. He suffered and died on the cross to bear the punishment for the sins of his people so that they might have everlasting life and believe through his name. He was taken down from that cross after he had died, and laid in a tomb. And he laid there for 3 days and three nights. Just like the word of God said. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead to die no more. He has and is everlasting life. And if you repent of your sins and believe that Christ died for you, do you hear me? You have everlasting life. There's no question about it. If you believe in Christ, you have everlasting life. And I need to command you, by the authority of the Word of God, to be baptized. And in this way, show everyone, I don't care if you're a child or an adult, I don't care what age you are, but if you believe in Christ, you need to be baptized. You need to show yourself to the world, us, that you've died to the world, and the world has died to you. Baptism is a symbol of the grave. The grave, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. What it says is you have been buried with him, and raised to walk in newness of life. And then what? Follow Christ. Drink in. You have a desire. There's no question about it. You have a renewed desire to drink in all of the Word of God. Satisfy that thirst and get in the Word of God. Read your Bible and learn to apply the teachings that you understand there. And walk with His people in one of these churches that the Lord is continuing day after day after day until He comes again. Walk in the church until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming soon. We're on the verge. Believe and be saved. Thank you so much for your attention.